7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Hope you had a great weekend. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. You know the drill. It's Monday. The good. Nuggets clinched the 2 seed. There's also bad there. The Nuggets could have been the number 1 seed, but lost on the buzzer beater to San Antonio on Friday night. The Avs get smoked on Saturday, by Winnipeg 7-0. Look like big bounce back. The defending champions on Sunday, they're up 3 goals.
Yeah, start hot.
Until they weren't.
Oof.
Ooh, woof. They lose 4-3 in OT to the Golden Knights, and it's looking more and more like the Avs will be at Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to, sky is falling situation here.
Mm-hmm.
Man alive, they looked like crap this weekend.
Yeah,
with the exception of the first 24 minutes against Vegas. Man, they looked like crap.
Yeah, it was
kind of
that yesterday.
Hey,
it was
yikes.
Yeah, they came out hot the way you want to see them bounce back after just getting hammered on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But man, yeah, that was not good. And it was also not good when Jamal Murray rolled his ankle.
Yeah,
they're going,
yeah.
That's blue arrow. He's telling Michael Malone, no, I'm fine.
At that point, Michael Malone should go out there and carry him to the sideline. Be like, no, you may be all right. You're done for the night. We're good here. We don't need any more. This is fine. Everything's fine.
Like when Coach Thomas from Chad Valley picked up his guy.
Yeah, exactly. Adam Thomas.
Adam here.
And drug him back. Not drug, but picked him up and piggybacked him the rest of the way to the dugout.
I was impressed that Adam carried him as far as he did. Like, picked him up like a baby.
Right field, third base line. That's what he, essentially the entire way.
Yeah. I don't know if Michael Malone would have probably felt like doing that, but.
I don't know if he would want to.
Hey, Jamal.
But also, it's not that far. It's the basketball court.
I know. But I don't think Michael Malone probably hits the weight room to the level that Adam Thomas.
Man, maybe.
Dead, and I'm assuming still probably does.
But still enough to carry him there and tape him to a chair so he doesn't go hurt himself.
Or escort him.
Exactly.
To the side.
Yeah.
And then, of course, yesterday. The tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty Scheffler's just unflappable.
What a dog, man. That's just like absolute dog in a good way.
In the very best sense of the word. Where he's 27. He's already won his second Masters. Becomes the 4th youngest golfer to win the Masters twice. Following Jack Nicklaus, Seve Ballesteros, and Tiger Woods. And he joins Nicklaus and Woods, the only players with 2 players' championships and 2 green jackets.
It turns out they're pretty good.
DeChambeau faded. Good. Homa had the double bogey.
Oh, faded for DeChambeau.
He had a big collapse.
Hideki Matsuyama, Colin Morikawa, faded.
Yeah, DeChambeau. I was trying to be nice there. He totally crashed into the wall.
Yeah,
Homa again did the same thing to a degree because Homa was right there and
a little bit.
And they had the double bogey, and Scheffler just
kept plugging along,
kept doing his thing. And his wife's pregnant, and he had said, look, if she goes into labor, I'm out of here. I'm going home.
Yep.
And it was a couple of years ago where he had the 3-shot lead on Sunday, and his wife was with him at that time, and he kind of broke down that morning. Can I finish this? Can I do this?
And I love the sports double standards with Scotty Scheffler wins the Masters, coming home. I just want to go home. Nobody says anything. It's like, oh, how sweet. Nikola Jokic just wants to go home after winning. He doesn't care about basketball or his fans. Like, stop.
Just I think Scheffler gets more of a pass because his wife's pregnant. That's why he gets more of a pass on the whole thing.
I mean, either way, you're right. I
agree with
Dad
you.
Dad Jokic.
I agree with you. That was a
Nobody
bunch
said
of
anything.
Garbage about
it. Yeah.
So he wanted to go home.
Exactly.
Spend time with his wife and his little girl. I mean, what? How can you begrudge the man that? But anyway,
you can't.
But Scottie Scheffler. He's not exciting. He's not interesting, really.
No, he's downright boring.
He's a pretty boring guy. But, man, he's a hell of a golfer. And he's a likable guy. It's not like he exudes this charm that just makes everybody want. He just seems like he's a decent guy.
Exactly.
He's just a good guy.
Yeah.
There's not this great charisma that he has. The thing I love about watching him play... Don't know if he had a great shot, bad shot.
Yep.
Got to go hit it out of the bunker. Hit it right down the middle of the fairway. You just don't know what he did. And that not too high, not too low kind of approach, he's been sensational.
That Oberg. I'm not sure about the Scandinavian umlauts. Sorry.
It is Oberg,
I think
by the way.
Oberg.
It is
Ludwig Oberg.
Swedish golfer, 24. Yeah,
who has less of an American accent than I do. As a non-native English speaker. He was pretty stellar
in
over
his
the
debut
weekend as well.
At the Masters. I think they said yesterday was like 12:15 Swedish time.
Yep.
Something like that.
8 hours ahead of Augusta.
Yeah.
Or us, I think. 6 hours ahead of Augusta.
Something like that. Yeah.
Math is hard. It was middle of the night. It's not quite perpetual daylight up there. That's two more months.
Yeah. But with Scheffler, though, I mean, the pressure of trying to win the Masters, he was a huge favorite.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Meredith, not being there, that's going to weigh on your mind. Your pregnant wife, at any moment, I'm going to have to leave. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go. I can't stay here. Well, you got to stay there and win the Masters. You'll be fine. Yeah. Baby will be fine. No, because that's not what you do.
Right. You can't have the first one again.
No. No, you cannot.
You know, if it's Scottie Jr.'s little brother or sister, maybe we finish that tournament.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I don't know about
that. It's a tough call.
Yeah, to me, you're there when your kids are born.
How do you say to that second kid,
we already had the first one. You just weren't as important as your older brother
That's
or sister.
Exactly. No, I'm just kidding.
You think you got to be there regardless.
You got to go.
If it's first, second, third, fifth, you got to be there.
I mean, once you make the decision that when the child comes, I'm leaving the Masters, now you got to be at all of them for exactly what you said.
Yeah, I mean, you've left the Masters.
Once you put that on paper,
because
you got to go for
and
all
how
of
do you
them.
Tell how do you tell Meredith? Yeah, you know, number one's in the books.
You know, I was there for number one. You looked like you had that under control.
You were there. You're always going to be there.
Love you. Good luck. I'll be back on Monday. See you Monday.
See how that works. Now, if she tells him,
you don't come home without that green jacket.
You come home with another jacket.
Then
I don't want to see you unless
that's a different conversation.
Till you come home with a green jacket.
Then you wait till the kid's about 11 or 12 and already has a good grasp of how mom is in control, and just be like, "Hey, she told me.
Yeah.
She told me not to show up unless I won." So.
But I just don't know how you tell child 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Exactly.
Sorry, you just weren't as important as me playing in the Masters. But you left the Masters for little Joe or little Jane.
Yep.
Well, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I pulled out of the Waste Management Open for your birth, so.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
I pulled out of Doral to watch you be born there, Junior.
The John Deere. They still do the John Deere?
I withdrew from the Firestone.
To be here. It doesn't really
doesn't quite have the same gravitas level.
You know, yeah. It does not have the same gravitas as I left the Masters.
Yep.
For you to be born.
On Sunday.
And I was leading. I was leading the Masters.
I left the Masters with a 3-stroke lead on Sunday. Oh, what about me, Dad? I finished the waste management with you, kid.
All right, 7-10.
Probably won that sucker, too.
So if you've got some thoughts about the Masters from the weekend, Rockies have yet to win a series, dear Lord.
It looks good early, though.
20 hits on Friday night. And
Chris Bryant with a couple knocks.
He's picked it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Jose Berrios shuts him down on Sunday. Oh,
yikes.
Yeah. So lots to get to on the program this morning. Mesa Baseball takes 3 out of 4 against Chico State. Lost an extra innings yesterday. Incredible game on Friday night. They look like they're down 8-0. And then Liam Hohenstein comes in and gave up some runs, but it kind of gave him a chance to get back in the game. Did a little Goose Gossage long relief, like 5 1/3 on Friday night. And they just kind of kept chipping away. Rob Schirra hits a solo home run. And then in that 9th inning where they score 6 runs, as big as Rob Schirra's 3-run walk-off home run was, oppo, by the way, from Rob Schirra. Derek Shaver, gritty little at bat, gets a bad call on a fastball. It was off the plate. Skip looked like he was going to get tossed. Chris was losing his mind. And then he just goes over to Derek Shaver, kind of puts his arm around him, and gives him a few words of encouragement. Shaver goes out.
If you could take this the other way, that'd be great.
What Shaver did was he a little bloop into right center field.
Opposite field.
Yeah, it was a little flare, drives in 2 runs. And if that doesn't happen, Rob Schirra doesn't get to be the hero.
No.
If Shaver doesn't have a really good at bat, puts the ball in play, and it keeps the inning, keeps the rally going. And then Rob Schirra, just huge, huge moment where he hits the 3-run walk-off home run as the Mavs, against their old West region rivals, they take 3 out of 4 this past week. And the Maverick softball, it's insane. They're on a 25-game winning streak right now.
They're borderline going to get one of those Nathan MacKinnon unsportsmanlike penalties for butt-kicking, essentially.
Yeah, 25 straight. They're 35-7, 33-3 in the RMAC right now.
20 and 21 of the 25 have been via the run rule.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
And one on Sunday was, I believe.
I think one each. I think one Saturday, one Sunday, yeah. If I saw, which I don't. I could be just conceiving things in my mind.
Yeah.
And then, no, just one. You're right. Just one. So 20 of 25. Yeah. So still.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's pretty dominating there.
All right.
All 5 runs.
Yeah. So we'll have our Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs at the Phil Wortman Invitational. Mm-hmm. Uncle Phil, my track coach out at Fruita. Iowa pole vault, actually big, whatever it was at that time. Is it still Big Ten? Big Ten back then?
I think so. Back, I think like, there were only maybe 11. Maybe no, 10. It was
a legit Big Ten back then.
Yeah.
He was
pre-Penn State.
I believe he's still the Iowa pole vault record holder. Did you have Mr. Wortman out at Fruita?
Never in class, but I saw him around.
Okay, yeah. Great guy. And, of course, they named the track meet after him because he was a longtime track and field coach there. But Scotty Vines of the state record, the Dubec high jumper. So, yeah. So, pretty cool stuff. A lot going on from this past weekend. And also, it looks like the Avalanche are going to have Arizona's in their division. Arizona is
getting closer.
Rival-ish.
Yep.
Now they're really going to be, from a geographic standpoint, even more of a rival since the Arizona Coyotes players were told over the weekend, guess where you guys are playing next year?
Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Our friend Jackson Wilson, not very happy about that.
Because his team got closer? He's not from Arizona.
No, but he's not happy. He's not happy they're moving. He feels like they should be the Arizona Coyotes, not... He's hoping they're going to keep the name and in Arizona when they...
Stick them in Flagstaff or something?
Maybe get an expansion team down the road.
Where there's actual ice.
Or that land auction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that Marullo guy's going to get a nice used cop car. Maybe a Forest Service vehicle.
Get a 97 Crown Vic. Two-tone, black and white.
It's got cop shocks, cop brakes, cop steering.
That movie was on over the weekend. Had to put a good 45 minutes
of course you
down
do.
To watch
of
it.
Of course you have to do that.
How much for the girl? How much for the little girl?
Oh, it's so improper.
Oh, man.
So inappropriate.
That movie followed up Blazing Saddles on IFC.
Yeah, two of maybe the 70s most inappropriate films.
Yeah. You could probably redo the Blues Brothers, but it's got to be a little different.
Blazing Saddles?
Probably not.
I don't know if you could.
Speaking of remakes, saw the new Roadhouse over the weekend.
I have not watched it yet.
I likened it to a frontage road along the highway. The original Roadhouse is the interstate. This one is the frontage road. Like, you can see the original movie in it, but it's just different enough. I actually liked it more than I thought I would.
They don't really have a Sam Elliott character in it, do they?
No, not really.
Because he was great in that. He was like the veteran bouncer guy, kind of mentor to Dalton. And
you kind of, you don't have a, you know, Conor McGregor is going to eventually be the bad guy. You really have to detach from reality, though, once he starts showing up. All the rest of it is like, okay, I see, you know, all right. Then he shows up, you're like, okay, this is ridiculous. Okay. It's amusing, but this is lunacy.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet. Some point I will, I'm sure. All right. I appreciate the quick review. I'm surprised you actually watched something that's out right now.
I'm a little stunned
that you watched something that's actually out.
My wife is like, we're going to watch this, but all right.
Okay. All right.
I'm here. I didn't choose it or anything.
All right, 717, Fruitland Monument baseball coach Casey Sullivan's going to join us a little bit. Also, Central baseball coach Joe Kellerby, Wildcats, and the Warriors square off tomorrow night here on the Team Sports Network, so we'll dive into that. Also, coming up later on this morning, 9 o'clock, top of that hour, I'll have the interview I did with Mary Doan from Friday. Of course, Mary's now the new Grand Junction girls basketball coach. We were not able to get a hold of her until after the show was over, but it's been available on our website all weekend long. And we'll have that coming up at 9 o'clock this morning as Mary Doan talking about the reasons why she's leaving Central to go coach the Grand Junction girls. All right, it's time for What's Happening.
What's Happening?
It's brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind. And they take care of a variety of IT needs, PC and server support, business phone system surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup, and disaster recovery. Call ComWest today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, to lead things off with American Scottie Scheffler captured his second green jacket Sunday in winning the Masters Golf Tournament at Augusta National in Georgia. Scheffler won by 4 shots over 24-year-old Swedish golfer Ludvig Åberg as Scheffler becomes the fourth youngest golfer to win the Masters twice. He also joins Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods, the only players to win 2 Players' Championships and 2 Masters titles. In NASCAR yesterday, Chase Elliott took the checkered flag at Texas. After the Nuggets wasted a chance to be the top seed in the Western Conference after Friday's loss to San Antonio, Denver nailed down the second seed after winning at Memphis 126-111 on Sunday. The win tied a Nuggets record with their 57th win of the season. Ties last year's mark for the Nuggets when they were the top seed in the West. Jamal Murray led Denver with 21 points but rolled his ankle in the second half. He did stay in the game. Nikola Jokic scored 15 points and grabbed 15 rebounds. The Nuggets wait for the winner. The L.A. Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans play in game. We'll have a little post Malone from Coach Michael Malone coming up in just a little bit. The Avalanche blew a 3-goal lead in their 4-3 overtime loss to the defending champion Golden Knights Sunday in Las Vegas. Colorado's Ross Colton, Cale Makar, and Mikko Rantanen gave the Avs a 3-goal lead before too many penalties gave Vegas a chance to come back. Colorado still has a chance of finishing second in the Central Division, but it's looking more likely to open the playoffs at Winnipeg. Denver Pioneers, your NCAA men's hockey champions once again. It's their 10th national title, surpassing Michigan for the most all time. Pioneers got the 2-0 shutout over top seed Boston College Saturday to clinch their second title in 3 years. Goalie Matt Davis stopped a combined 68 of 69 shots in the Frozen Four. That save Saturday insane. What it looked like Boston College. With that line that they've got some guys who are probably going to be playing in the NHL here in the next couple of years. Matt Davis with maybe one of the best saves of all time. No doubt about that. He won the most outstanding player award for the Frozen Four. So congratulations to Coach David Carl and the DU Pioneers. Rockies have fallen to 4-12 after losing at Toronto Sunday 5-0. Blue Jays veteran pitcher Jose Berrios handcuffed Colorado and going 7 innings and giving up 2 hits along with 7 strikeouts. Rockies have yet to win a series this season as they play at Philadelphia today. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock, first pitch at 4:40 on the Team Sports Network. Colorado Mesa baseball took 3 out of 4 from Chico State this past weekend. Game 1 started poorly for the Mavs, but after trailing 11-4, came back with a walk-off Rob Sherrar 3-run home run to win the game 14-13. Doubleheader on Saturday, Mavs swept 11-7 and 13-5. Sherrar once again with a great day, 4 hits and 7 at-bats. He had 3 RBIs. Mavs couldn't get the sweep, though, as they lose the game on Sunday 12-9 in 10 innings. Simi rallied to tie it at 9-all, but Chico scored 3 runs in the 10th. Mavs were unable to answer. Colorado Mesa softball team extended their winning streak to 25 straight after taking a 4-game homestead against Metro State this past weekend. The Mavericks beat the Roadrunners 10-1 and 8-0 Sunday at the CMU softball complex. CMU is now 35-7 overall, 33-3. And the RMAC CMU women's lacrosse, they scored 14 unanswered goals in their 16-3 win over CSU Pueblo. CMU men's lacrosse, they lost to Westminster 13-12 on Saturday. J.J. Brummett had 3 goals for the Mavericks, and CMU Beach Volleyball took 3rd at the ABCA Small College Championships in Florida this past weekend. DeBeck High School, Scotty Vines, now Colorado's high jump record holder. He did that Friday at the Phil Wortman Invitational at Stoker Stadium. Vines set the high jump record at 7'4¼". Previous record was set in 1991 by Buena Vista's Matt Hemingway, would later go on to become an Olympic silver medalist, by the way. Vines cleared 7'4¼ at a meet in Texas because it was out of state, though. Did not count as a Colorado State record. Palisade Baseball, they took down Western Slope League rival Eagle Valley Saturday in a doubleheader sweep. Bulldogs won in the first game 9-2 and the second one 15-4. And Grand Junction Tigers baseball, they held off a comeback by North Glen to win 5-3 at Saplesio on Saturday. Day before that, they knocked off Montrose, picking up a 5-2 victory. Tigers are 8-6 overall, 1-1 league play. Montrose is 6-6, 1-3 in the league. In Central, they defeated North Glen as well. They won on Friday by the score of 6-3. Fruitland Monument moved to 10-4 after beating Lakewood 5-4 on Friday. In Fruitland Monument girls soccer, they won 3 of their last 4 matches. They beat Steamboat Springs 3-0. Fruitland Monument girls lacrosse, they're now on a 3-game winning streak as they beat Steamboat Springs by the score of 7-6. And area track and field teams competed Friday at the Phil Wortman Invitational at Stoker Stadium. Grand Junction boys won the team title to host Fruitland Monument 3rd. Central was 6th with Palisade 8th and Caprock Academy 16th. Fruitland Monument won the girls title with Grand Junction 3rd and Palisade 4th. Central was 6th with Caprock Academy 7th. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business, call them today, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. Coming up next, we'll talk with Fruitland Monument baseball coach Casey Sullivan. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's Fruitland Monument baseball coach Casey Sullivan on The Team.
And Casey Sullivan brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Casey Sullivan, coach of the Wildcats, they're 10-4 right now, joins us on the Jim Davis Show. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Good morning. We are doing well. Thanks for having us.
10-4, as I mentioned, your team playing really, really well, and 2-0 in Southwestern League play. You get back into league play against Central tomorrow night. You know, that doubleheader, of course, this week, we should say, with tomorrow night's game, and then you play again, of course, on Friday. But let's talk about that Lakewood victory, 5-4 for your ball club. Lakewood played you guys really tough. They made it close. They rallied for 2 runs in the 7th inning, but your team gets the job done against Lakewood this past weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of a short and sweet trip over there. We went over Friday and then came home Saturday morning. But it was not our prettiest ball game by no means. Matter of fact, I think Lakewood, I think they out hit us maybe 10-5. But we were able to just do kind of just enough there to get them. And I think that's one of those you know, even on bad days, we still got to find a way to win, and we were able to do that. So, yeah, overall, it was a good trip for us.
And like you said, it may not have been your prettiest game. Like you said, you're right there. You're out hit 10-5. They did commit four errors in that game, which you guys certainly, that helps when a team commits four errors. But you're able to get the four runs in the fourth inning and able to hold on to get the victory. And I think as you get deeper into league play, and obviously when the postseason rolls around, a game like this where it's quick turnaround, not what you normally do, and you go over there, maybe not play your best baseball and still come away with a victory, that's the kind of thing that maybe you can build on from a mental standpoint for this ball club, that sometimes you may not play your best, but you do enough of the right things, Casey, to get a victory.
Yeah, and I think that's, and we try to tell the boys that, I think rarely, matter of fact, never, you never can play a perfect baseball game. And so it's one of those ways to find a way to win. If you go back to that ball game, I think on the flip side of that, I think we only had three kids maybe strike out in that ball game. And so it's one of those where, maybe the lineup was tough enough and the outs were hard enough that, they started to try to pitch around us and they ended up walking a few guys in and things like that. And so, just having that pressure there still benefits us. And so, I was still proud of the boys in terms of, their overall, they just kind of stayed with it and, won kind of an ugly ball game, but we'll take the wins.
Casey Sullivan, coach of the Fruita Monument Boys, Fruita Monument baseball team, joining us on the program today. And from a run production standpoint, spread out pretty evenly. Lucas Weaver had an RBI. Parker Noah had a couple of hits, drove in a run. Mason Lopez drove in a run as well. Likewise for Gavin Cardoza. So, like I said, that run production spread out pretty nicely for your ball club.
Yeah, I would agree. That's and that's when you kind of look at that. That's early in our lineup got some RBIs, and late in our lineup got some RBIs. I think Lucas, his RBI came off of a suicide squeeze, and so he executed when he needed to execute, and that was big for us.
From a pitching standpoint, you had Scuba pitched on Saturday, came in. Lucas, so we just referenced with the suicide squeeze to bring in the RBI. Lucas went the five innings, gave up six hits, gave up a run, and had six strikeouts. And then Gavin Cardoza came in, and they got to him a little bit. He gave up the four hits and the three runs. But from a pitching standpoint, got to be happy with what you saw from Lucas Weaver. That's a really good start.
Yeah, Lucas did, kind of what he normally did. He wasn't I wouldn't say he was maybe as clean as he usually is, but that was kind of a funny story. We Gavin comes in and we get back to 5-4, and we get two outs, and so we bring in Scuba, and he threw one pitch. He threw one pitch. The kid rolled over to Josh Weaver at shortstop, and we get the out. We're done with the game. So yeah. Our closer with Scuba came in for a single pitch.
Very, very efficient on the part of Scuba.
Yeah, no doubt.
You like it when your reliever comes in, throws one pitch, okay, game over. let's get in the vans and go back home, guys. We're talking with Casey Sullivan, Fruita Monument baseball coach, with us on the Team Sports Network, referencing Hunter Scuba Smolenski. The Denver Post put out kind of their baseball preview as we're now into league play across the state. And Scuba's name, the only one from the Western Slope to make that list. Going to Grand Canyon, of course, after he's done with his time at Fruita Monument. But had to be pleased that Western Slope, I think, should have had more representation. But I always think that. But it was nice for your ball club, Casey, that Scuba got that acknowledgement from the Denver Post.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, that's a testament to kind of his whole high school career, in terms of his consistency and things like that. And so, very deserving. As you look at him through kind of his career, his consistency's sure been top notch.
Casey Sullivan, Wildcats baseball coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. So for Central, they have yet to play a league game. You already got, of course, a couple of games into league play, and Central right now, they're 8-5 overall. And they've been able to get Ryland Nostrand back on the mound, and he's pitched well so far for Joe Kellerby. Give me kind of your thoughts about the Central Ball Club that plays their first game, of course, this Tuesday night in league play against your club.
I think Central's got a little bit of youth to them, between Ryland and Lewis Kuntz and some of those other guys, those are solid ball players. It's definitely something that you don't overlook them by no means. And now that Ryland's back, we got to be prepared for that. We got to, take it one pitch at a time. Again, I think if we kind of stick to our plan, I think we can be successful. I know that they got a decent record there, and we'll just kind of treat it like any other league game and just try and go get them, one pitch at a time.
And you mentioned Lewis Kuntz had the home run the other day in their win. Likewise for Ryland Nostrand, who's been swinging it well, and with the injury, they just got him back on the mound here a while back. But you mentioned there's some young talent there. Dayton Tambrezas got 16 RBIs on the season. He leads them in that category. Caden Guerrieri is another player for them that's had a good start. 370 batting average. He leads them with 10 doubles. And, he leads us. And Ryland's got six doubles, and he's the closest player to Guerrieri in terms of doubles for Central. They're a team that's got some pretty good bats up and down the lineup for Joe Kellerby.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I just think it kind of goes back to, you can't overlook anybody. You were definitely not good enough to just look over and breeze by people. And so it's something that, we'll preach tonight at practice and keep talking to the boys, we got to take care of our end of it. And usually if we can take care of our end of it, we have some success, but, we can't look to the future. We just got to, one ball game at a time and see how it shakes out.
All right. We'll have tomorrow night's game. First pitch at 6:00. Fordham Monument takes on Central right here on the Team Sports Network. Casey, always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Casey Sullivan, coach of the Wildcats. And what's going on with that game tomorrow night? Plus, we're going to have Delta Panthers baseball tomorrow. We will have their doubleheader at Gunnison because they shifted some times around. And so we'll have that. A lot of high school baseball tomorrow right here on the Team Sports Network, starting at 1:45 tomorrow with Delta taking on Gunnison up in Gunnison. All right, 7:35. Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. The good, the bad, the ugly. Yesterday, of course, the Masters wrapped up, and Scottie Scheffler wins his second green jacket. Here's Scottie Scheffler, a little bit of the presser from yesterday.
I'm glad I brought my stroke average, my putting average down on 18. That was nice. Down to, five strokes, and 2.5 is my average, so that's not bad. It's hard to put into words how special this is. It's been a long week, a grind of a week. The golf course was so challenging, and to be sitting here wearing this jacket again and getting to take it home is extremely special.
Great. Let's open up to questions. John?
Scotty, two-part question. One, I see you've got some kinesiology tape on. I assume that's from your neck. And two, how was this Sunday morning different than the Sunday morning 2 years ago?
Yeah, the Sunday morning was definitely different. Instead of just me and Merritt at the house, I had a couple of my buddies with me, and we sat and relaxed. Tried not to think about golf, but it was increasingly difficult. They were great support for me this morning. It was a long morning, but it was well worth it. I'm glad to be sitting here now.
Don.
Scotty, many congratulations. Your rivals will be hoping that at some point you're going to take your eye off the ball. By the time of the next major in a month's time, you'll have a baby in your arms. What are the chances that you think you will take your eye off the ball?
Well, I'm definitely not going to intentionally take my eye off the ball. I will go home, soak in this victory tonight. We'll definitely enjoy the birth of my first child. But with that being said, you know, I still love competing. My priorities will change here very soon. You know, my son or daughter will now be the main priority along with my wife. So golf will now be, you know, probably fourth in line. But I still love competing. I don't plan on taking my eye off the ball anytime soon, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think he'll take his eye off the ball either. I think he'll be just fine.
Was that the Telegraph? What type of question was that?
You gonna take your eye off the ball? Wait, yeah, I am. I'm gonna completely not focus on my golf game anymore. I'm good enough for me. Coast of the rest of my career. Come on, man. Yeah, that's
the Telegraph is just some awful reporting when it comes to sports. Just the way they approach it, just terrible.
All right, 7:37. Joe Kellerby, Central Baseball Coach, coming up. Time right now for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, you may have heard DU won the Hockey National Championship on Saturday. You may have heard that right here on the Team Sports Network. On ESPN, the brothers, whose names I can't pronounce, so I'll let ESPN do it, stopped by for a little on-ice post-game interview, which one of them doesn't realize they're live, doesn't care that they're live, and makes a boo-boo.
What a moment for the Bouillon brothers.
Shamsieb, how do you describe what you're feeling in this moment? Your smile's so big.
Yeah, you know, just smiling face is what a special moment for all the guys on this team, everyone part of Denver Hockey. It's an unreal feeling, really.
Zeev, you get to do this with your big brother. What does that feel like?
It's unbelievable. So it's great. I mean, it's what we go for. It's why you come to Denver. You want to win championships, you come here, and there's no better feeling, especially with my brother. I'm so happy right now.
I love the apology of the F word includes the S word.
Oh, bleep.
Yeah. It's like, it's bleep it. Oh, bleep. Sorry.
Bleep,
like,
sorry.
It's fucking unbelievable. So, sorry.
Methinks, I don't necessarily knew if he was live. I think he realized after he said it. I don't really think he cares.
Kind of like the time Chris Britt on our show.
Yeah.
Said Kansas
City.
But he didn't say city.
With an SH.
And then he said, oh, I've never said that word on the air before after he just said it.
Yep. He tripled down, I think.
I think he might have. He might have tripled down. All right, Joe Kellerby, Central Warriors baseball coach, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team. It's Central baseball coach Joe Kellerby on the team.
And Joe Kellerby brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Joe Kellerby joins us. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
Morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
As far as your baseball club goes, you're getting ready to open up league play, which just seems so weird that we're already this deep in the season. You haven't played a league game yet. We'll get into that in just a moment, but let's talk about that victory that you're able to come up with against North Glenn this last weekend, 6-3 victory. Got to be pleased the way your ball club played, and you've now been able to string together a nice little winning streak, six-game winning streak for your ball club.
Yeah, we're excited. We knew, our bats were really, really hot going into that North Glenn game, and we knew that there might be a shot that they might cool off a little bit. And North Glenn had a sophomore. He threw really well, threw on the outer half of the plate with a really good off-speed pitch, and we just had to battle, and, you know, they were stubborn. They're young, and they made some mistakes that we were able to capitalize on, but I was really pleased with our guys. They really didn't have our A game, and we've been preaching about how to still win games when we're not at our best, and we were really able to prove that on Saturday, Friday.
Well, Dayton Timbreza, another great game at the plate, drove in a couple of runs. Lewis Kuntz hits a home run for you. Those two guys really kind of helped to lead the way offensively in that win against North Glenn.
Yeah, Dayton's been swinging an extremely hot bat. You know, about 3 weeks ago, we really hammered in our philosophy of hitting, and Dayton's really bought into it. He's seeing some really, really good results. And Lewis, is, we've been waiting for Lewis to finally hit a home run here in high school. He's been so close, and he put so much hard work in the weight room, and he really studies his swing. And, you know, he hit that, I believe, in the sixth inning, and that's a 5-3 game. And we were preaching we needed one or two more to really just give us a little bit of an edge there going into the last three outs. And so for him to get his first one, which was exciting, but to get it in that time and pressure of the game was just really, really clutch for us.
What did you tell Lewis after he hit it?
Well, really that the pressure's off, you know, not that he was going up there trying to hit home runs, but you know, him and Rylan are good buddies and they give each other, some good back and forth. And Rylan's had some success hitting home runs over the last couple of years. And so we kind of just smiled and just said, hey man, you finally got it. And now, you know, now we just cruise through the rest of the year. So, you know, he looked at me and he said, coach, I knew it was coming. It was, you know, he's been swinging a hot bat too. So he knew it was coming. And like I said, for him to do it at that time, just was exactly what we needed.
Yeah, a special moment for him, no doubt about that. We're talking with Joe Kellerby, Central Warriors baseball coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. In that game against North Glenn, you had Caden Guerrieri on the bump. Was really good. Six innings, gave up the three runs, couple earned on five hits. He had nine strikeouts and two walks. Going to take us through what you saw from him, Joe, in that victory.
Well, every start Caden has had so far this year, he's gotten stronger and better. So when I mean stronger, velocity is going up. His location is getting more and more sharp. And the one thing you can always bet on with Caden is that he's going to compete. And even that just gets stronger and stronger. So we really, really wanted this game. We really wanted to go into league on a winning note. And handing the ball to Caden was exactly where we wanted to be in our rotation, a senior. And he wanted the ball. And he just battled and battled. And we found some really good luck with some pitches against that lineup. And we just kept going to him. And the nine strikeouts is, I believe, his season high in a game. And again, just clutch performances by my older guys at Lewis in the home run. And Caden giving us that pitching performance to give us a shot to win that game so that we can be on a winning streak going into league.
It is a mixture of upperclassmen of the Rylan Nostrands and the Lewis Koontzes with the younger guys, the Dayton Tumbrezas and some of those players for you, Joe. But I mean, it's really come together nicely. I mentioned the 6-game winning streak. You're hitting .333. What's been the difference at the plate? You talk about getting guys to buy into what you're wanting to do. What are they buying into? And you know, that process has certainly been part of this being your first year as the head coach of the Central Warriors.
Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about letting the ball travel and get deep and keeping that barrel in the zone as long as you possibly can. And that's easier said than done. And so, you know, after the first couple of weeks of the season, we kind of took a look at where our stats were and where we were making outs. And we just had to make some changes in practice to really hammer in that kind of philosophy. And then what we also have to do is you got to get kids to buy into that philosophy as well, because it's not easy when kids are kind of taught coming into high school to just pull the baseball, get out in front of that baseball. And so we really had some good hard conversations about how to be successful at the high school level, how to hit velocity at the high school level. As you talk about, we've got some younger guys and they kind of had to mature quickly and see some more velocity. And so that has helped guys like Dayton Tumbrezas, who kind of came in. He's a powerful kid as a sophomore. He can really hit a ball a long way, but he loved to get around and hit that ball, you know, always to left field. And so now opening up the field a little bit certainly, you know, helps him be able to spray the ball around, and then he becomes much more tougher to pitch to. So, and then again, yeah, our younger guy, Dayton's a sophomore, and we're routinely starting guys like Omar Atchley and Braden Hartman and Octavio Gallegos, who are all freshmen, and most of the guys that I come bring off the bench to run are freshmen. So, you know, we just had to figure out who we were as a team early with blending some of our older guys with our newer guys. And about 3 weeks ago, we really kind of found our groove.
Warriors baseball coach Joe Kellerby with us today on the Team Sports Network. So you play your first league game tomorrow night when you take on Fruto Monument, defending league champions. And kind of, I mean, that's just a weird situation that you've already, you know, this deep into the season, that you have not played a league game yet until this game coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, we usually have a bye week during the middle of league, and ours just kind of came at the beginning of the season. So now we'll go four straight weeks playing. We've got Fruta, Junction, Montrose, Durango, back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks. We don't have that kind of bye in the middle of the week where you either rest up and just practice, or maybe you grab a non-league game. So that's kind of how that shook out. I think it's helped us so that we can continue to work on who we are as a team and get us in a position to, you know, just really compete. And we do look at our opponents and we game plan a little bit, but, you know, we just really focus on what we know we need to do, and we practice those things about what we need to do to be successful, and we really, really preach just competing at the plate, and, you know, not just to compete in the classroom and compete in the community and be really good people, and hopefully that turns into good things on the baseball field. So we're proud of where our guys are at this point. You know, at one point we were 2-5, and we're 8-5 now, and we know some things are in our control in the Southwestern League and to get into playoffs. And 3 weeks ago, that's where we wanted those guys to be, and they've done a good job getting themselves there.
Central head coach Joe Kellerby joining us on the Jim Davis Show. You mentioned a lot of your sophomores, a lot of your youngsters. Do you feel that not having that bye week is going to help as you get into league play? Because you mentioned it took them a little bit to kind of get the buy-in to see the results. Now they're going to be playing pretty much Tuesday, Thursday, or two games a week for the next month. Do you feel that that's going to kind of help that development kind of skyrocket a little bit?
Yeah, this will definitely let us get into a groove. We just got done with a six-game, seven-day stretch. So we are around each other quite a bit, galvanized our team again with our culture and our team identity. And now we know what's in front of us, the Tuesday, Thursday doubleheaders, and get into a routine with practices, spending some time together away from the field with some team dinners. And so we've been talking about this for a while. So we're prepped for this stretch run. We kind of know what we need to do in order to get ourselves in a position to extend our season, which is one of our big goals. And so we are ready for it. You know, we got to stay away from the injury bug a little bit. We're not incredibly deep. And so knowing that, you know, we're going to be playing these two games a week for the next 4 weeks, plus we got to finish a game up in Eagle Valley on May 7th. We got to travel up there for the rest of the three innings. And actually, we got snowed out up in Carbondale last Saturday, so we got to chase one more game. So we got to figure out how to get all that done in 4 weeks, and hopefully at the end of that, we're playing another weekend.
Joe Kellerby, the head coach of the Central Warriors baseball team with us, take on Fruto Monument tomorrow night to open up Southwestern League play. Wildcats, they're already off to a 2-0 start in league play. They're 10-4 overall, defending league champions. And for your ball club, it's been a long time since Central's beat Fruto Monument. You have to go back to 2014, Joe. I mean, how much do you mention that to your guys? You know, for most of your, I mean, some of your players have experienced, obviously, being on the wrong side of games against Fruto Monument, some of your upperclassmen like Lewis Koontz and Rylan Nostrand. How much do you talk about that when you take on Fruto Monument? Because to win a league championship, it's going to go through Fruto Monument.
Yeah, it absolutely goes through Fruta. And we hit on that a little bit. You know, we're kind of trying to focus on who we are right now. And what we know is I mean, we know we've got one heck of a week in front of us. You know, Fruta's lineup is top to bottom. And they can bring guys off the bench that are extremely talented. And, you know, their pitching staff is deep, and they've got velocity, and they've got location and off speed. And so, you know, we just have to prepare for it all. And that's why we just are focusing on how we're going to compete. We preach how we handle adversity, and you know, teams that can handle adversity, you know, generally can do pretty well. And baseball's a great sport to teach that. And so, you know, we'll continue with that philosophy tonight. And, you know, we know we've got to play really mistake-free just to have a chance at the end of the game with Fruta. And That's what we're going to look for. We feel confident that we can do that if we're hitting on all cylinders. And so, you know, we're certainly staying humble, not saying, you know, that this is a no doubter that we're going to just go out and finally start beating Fruta. What we say is we're gonna go do what we think we could do on the field and let the cards fall the way that they are. But we know that we're up against an extremely talented team.
All right, we'll have that game coming up tomorrow night. First pitch at 6 o'clock as Fruto Monument scores off against Central. Hey, Joe, always appreciate the time. Congratulations on what's been a really nice stretch for your team, and good luck against the Wildcats tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim. We really appreciate the coverage.
All right, take care. Joe Kellerby, coach of the Central Warriors baseball team. Yeah, it's been a long time since Central has been able to get a victory. You have to go back against Fruto Monument. You have to go back to April 22nd of 2014.
Ooh. That was 10 years. That's a long time ago.
They won 5-2.
That's Central sophomores being first graders.
Yeah, since 2008, the air quote Max Preps era, Fruita Monument 24-6 against Central.
There's a lot of that going around.
It's not just Central.
Hasn't beat Central or hasn't beat Fruita since blank. There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, they're not the only ones.
Yeah,
they're not the only ones. All right, 7:55. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy coming up next hour. Go around the NFL. Also, we'll have our Browns Cremation and Funeral Service. Good call, bad call. It is Monday. The good, the bad, the ugly. The good, it's Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes, absolutely.
The bad, it's tax day.
Yeah, yeah.
Taxes done? Already filed? Good? Good job?
Yep, got them in under the wire. Did it Friday morning.
Thank goodness Kenda does that. She's very proactive. She's extremely smart. And if I did them, we would be in so much trouble. We'd be in a lot of trouble. Yeah. All right. Thank goodness she does it. All right, 7:55. We'll take a break and we'll come back with hour two on the Team Sports Network.